struggled with that title more than probably a man should. It is past, right? And not past, P-A-S-S-E-D, P-A-S-T, that's right, isn't it? You all aren't any help. I think it's right. I'm going to say it is. It's good to see all of you out this morning and those on Facebook. We welcome you and encourage you to participate in worship, wherever that might be that you're doing that. We're wrapping up our series today on Happy You Did, and I'll start by telling a story. One of my first jobs in retail was working at Anthony's in Siloam. I put up clothes and ran the registers, got to visit with all kinds of people. It wasn't a very hard job, but what I hated the most was that it never failed. At 5 minutes to closing time, would there be at least one person, but probably two or three people, come walking through the door. And they would just start looking around. And of course, you have to let them shop. They could stay in the store as long as they wanted to, and you can't tell them to leave, and you couldn't do anything. You couldn't start finishing closing up for the day and getting ready for the next day until they finally cleared out. And so the first thing that I would do to no avail would be to ask them if there's anything that I could help them find. And 9 times out of 10, you probably know the answer that they gave. No, I'm just looking. And I would think, you can't be just looking. It's 5 to close. And sure enough, they would wander the store for another 15 minutes and leave without buying anything. And in my mind, of course, I would never tell them that, but I would be thinking, it's too late to do that. You could have come at any point in the other 14 hours and 55 minutes that this store was open and browse all you want to, but now it's the end of the day. It's beyond time doing those sorts of things. It doesn't make any sense doing those things at this point in time. And that's how things in life can be. They make sense in the early hours, but they don't seem to make as much sense later on. When I was 5 years old, it made sense that I was scared of monsters in my closet. It probably wouldn't make as much sense now for me to be scared of monsters in my closet. It makes much more sense to be asleep at 1 a.m. It makes a whole lot more sense to be awake at 1 p.m. And if you're asleep at 1 p.m., that doesn't flow with most people. It just makes more sense for someone who's going to college to be pretty undecided about what they want to do with their life, rather than if you were a month away from graduation and you still didn't know what you wanted to do. So some things make sense early on. You say, of course, you know, you're young or this is early, or it makes sense that I used to do those sorts of things. That's what this series has been all about, looking in our rearview mirror and recognizing that our past is one thing, but our future is supposed to be something else. Really, even our present should be something else, but also recognizing that our present will soon be our past, and that we have to be making decisions right now that we will be happy that we did later on. That we look back and say, I'm glad that I made that decision, but right now, as we look at our past and we think back to those things that we've done and we reflect on choices that we've made, surely that we can see things in our past where we can say, yes, at that time, knowing how little that I knew then, that was my behavior then. But now I cannot live like that. I cannot keep doing what I used to do. That my future has to be different than my past. I have to be making decisions right now because I'm a different person than I was in the past. It's too late to live that old way and be that person and keep going the same direction that I was going. I think so many passages that we've looked at over the last few weeks have been an encouragement to Christians to look back and at the past and now think about your present and the future and make decisions now that you will be happy you did later on. I read an article by a minister, and he said every night him and his sons have a routine. They say the Shema every night. They say together, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, all your strength." And then he says, we add what Jesus said, "And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And he said, they say this before bed every night. And he said he told his sons that that the reason they did this is not just about right now. It's about 30 years from now. He said that I want in 30 years for them to be able to look back at these moments, to look back at their childhood and say, we did this every night. This is who we are, and this is what our dad was preparing us for, was the future. He said that we were making decisions that right now, that in 10 years, that in 15 years, if 20 years, if people are lucky enough, that whatever it is, that we will look back at choices we think that we make and look back and say, what did we do? What kind of choices did we make? Will we be glad of the decisions that we made? Will we be happy that we did this, or will we look back with regret, the way that we're looking back at some of our choices that we've already made? I think a text that will help us make better decisions is 1 Peter chapter 4. And Peter there writes to persecuted Christians that are beginning to experience some of the rejection and humiliation that comes with being a follower of Jesus. And he says, since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. And I like how he says, arm yourselves. You're in a battle. Do we recognize that? That we aren't just cruising down any road in life. That we are really going through a minefield. That as Christians, we are behind enemy lines. That you're in a battle, and the audience to whom Peter is writing to, they recognized they were in a battle. And they were probably asking Peter, why is this happening to us? And Peter says, you have to arm yourselves. The same way that Paul would say to put on your spiritual armor. And think about what Peter says in arming yourselves. With a tank? No, with sword and shield? Again, no, arm yourselves with this way of thinking. Your mentality, the way you think, your perspective is your armor. He says, arm yourself with this way of thinking, with this mentality. What is it? That those who have suffered in the flesh, those who have been persecuted, have ceased to sin. That we're done with it. Why would persecution be an indication that you've ceased to sin? Why would that be? Because it's a choice. Persecution is a choice. It's always a choice. It has always been a choice, because all you need to do is to not be persecuted is to not follow Jesus. All you had to do to not suffer in the flesh is to just deny Jesus. And if you deny Jesus and you just go back to live the way you used to live, you can avoid persecution. But the fact that you said, I'm not taking the easy way out. I'm going to follow Jesus no matter the cost, whether this hurts or whether this doesn't. I'm going to follow Jesus. And the fact that you're saying that and you're enduring that means that you are committed. You're in. That you're done with that old life. You've stopped sinning. You've said it's too late for sin. It's too late for that behavior. I'm on Jesus' side. And again, and the fact that you are suffering associates you with Jesus. Jesus also suffered in the flesh. The fact that you are suffering with him proves that you are done with that old lifestyle. And so he says, arm yourselves with this mentality. Arm yourself with this way of thinking. And whether or not you and I suffer the same type of persecution, because we certainly do not. None of us in this room have suffered the way that first century Christians have suffered. But even if we did, or if we continue to not, we still have to arm ourselves with this sort of thinking, with this sort of mentality, that I'm done with that old lifestyle. I'm not going to live like that anymore. The way of living for human passions from now on, the road ahead in the future, that I will live for the will of God. And that's the way that you fight this battle. That's the way you cruise down this road, that you navigate this minefield, is that you decide, I am done living the way that I used to live. Now this doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect. Peter, by saying that you have ceased to sin, isn't saying you're going to be perfect from now on and that you'll never make a mistake. He's saying that you're done with that lifestyle. And the fact that you're willing to suffer with Jesus proves that you are done with that lifestyle. So he says, here's your armor. Change your perspective about suffering. Change your perspective about persecution. Persecution doesn't mean that God has turned his back on you. Persecution means I'm on the Lord's side. And this is evidence of that. Verse 3 says, for the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do. Living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. Again, it's too late to live like that. The time that has passed suffices for doing that. It might have made sense if you didn't know the things you know now. It might have made sense if you didn't see the things that you've seen now. It might have made sense if you didn't believe what you believe now. It might have made sense of what happened in the gospel, in the good news of Jesus, that it didn't happen. It might have made sense then to do just whatever you feel like doing. If you felt like being angry, be angry. If you feel like being greedy, be greedy. You feel like sleeping with whoever, sleep with whoever. Do this, do that, whatever you feel like doing. That might have made sense under different circumstances, but no more. That doesn't make sense anymore. That doesn't make sense for someone who has seen what we have seen and heard what we have heard and believed what we believed. It doesn't make sense to live like that anymore. We can all look back in our rearview mirrors and say, yeah, there are things that I did back then that I don't know why that I did those things. But I understand more than I did then. I didn't see then what I see now. I can't drive forward doing what I was doing back then. That wouldn't make sense anymore. It doesn't make sense at the end of the day to be browsing, and it doesn't make sense for someone who sees Jesus for who he is to live as the world does, or as Peter says, as the Gentiles want to do. That doesn't make sense to us. It's too late for that kind of behavior. It's too late to be greedy. It's too late to be self-indulgent. It's too late for all of these things. It's just too late for that. You've seen too much. You know too much. Verse 4 says, with respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery, and they malign you. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. I think you've experienced this. Many of us have. You've experienced your family or your friends that are shocked, and not shocked in a happy kind of way, but in a negative type way. You won't do this with me? You used to come do this with me. You won't go there? You didn't ever used to have a problem with it. Are you better than me? Are you too good to hang out with me now? They're shocked and they malign you. They talk bad about you because you've left that, but you've changed. You're a different person than you used to be. You've seen something that you didn't used to see. Your priorities have changed. You used to chase after treasure and pleasure and power and everything that they chase after, but now your priorities have shifted. You're a different person, and it shocks them. And maybe for some of us that we haven't experienced this, and maybe we should step back and think that if our lifestyle doesn't shock somebody in the world, that maybe we're not as committed as we think we are, because it should be shocking. For the first century Christian, it was completely shocking to everyone around them. Why would you give up your family? Why would you give up everything that you had before? Why would you go and associate with a bunch of nobody Christians instead of your family and friends and coming down to the temple with us and engaging in the worship of the gods with us? Why are you living this way? Why have you given it all up? It wasn't shocking to them, and our world hasn't really changed all that much. Truly being radically committed to Jesus still shocks people, and it should still shock people. Verse 6 says, for this is why the gospel was preached. For what purpose is that? That Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. So for this purpose, it has been preached even to those who are dead. And I don't think that he means people who were dead when he preached to them. That it's been preached to people who are now dead. Even to those who are dead, though judged in the flesh, again, though they died, as all human beings do, the way people are, they might live in the Spirit the way God does. Don't you know that there were all kinds of questions about Christians who died back then? Christians who said, I'm no longer going to worship the gods anymore. I now worship Jesus. I'm not going to go with you down to the idol temple anymore. I'm not going to drink that anymore. I'm not going to eat that food anymore. I'm not going to do the things that I used to do. Then a year or two goes by and they die. And don't you know, some people laughed. What good did it do them? They were going to stop hanging out with us and follow Jesus, and they gave up all of this, and they just died like everybody else does. What good did it do them? And Peter is saying, because Jesus is going to raise them from the dead. Jesus is going to vindicate them. That's why the gospel was preached to them. That even though they died in the flesh, the Spirit is going to bring them back to life. The Spirit is going to raise them from the dead according to the will of God. They're going to live, and the people who laughed and maligned them, they will know that Jesus Christ is King, and these people who have died, that they gave up who they used to be, and they made a decision that even though now they suffered and died, they still followed Jesus, and it was still worth it. Verse 7 says that the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. The end of all things is at hand. Do we realize that? Do we care about that? That ever since the resurrection of Jesus, everything has been different. We are living in the end times. That ever since the resurrection of Jesus, these have been the last days. That's what people ask all the time. Do you think these are the last days? Yes, and they have been the last days ever since Jesus was resurrected from the dead. The resurrection has begun. The reign of the Messiah has begun. These are the last days. The end of all things is at hand. All of this idolatry, all of this chasing after pleasure and treasure and power, it's all coming to an end. The kingdoms are fading away. These lifestyles are all going away. They're all decaying. It's all coming to an end. And Jesus is going to judge the living and the dead. And if that is true, how should you live? We should live every day as if it's the day Jesus is coming back. I love this story about Martin Luther, who was once asked that question. What would you do today if you knew that this was the day Jesus was coming back? And Martin Luther said, I would pay my taxes and I would plant a tree. In other words, I'm going to do exactly what I planned on doing anyway. If we knew for sure that this was the day Jesus was coming back, what would we do? What would you do? Would you say exactly what I planned on doing? Because that's the way I live every day. Could you say that? I don't know that I could say that. But we know the end of all things is at hand. So what? So be self-controlled and sober-minded. We should live every day as if this could be it. We're living in anxious anticipation of the return of Jesus, and we have been ever since he ascended to his throne. This is going to happen. And we live in light of that fact. Verse 8 says that this is what it looks like to live in anticipation of the return of Christ. Be self-controlled and sober-minded, and above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sin. And not by loving you, I've covered up or I've atoned for my own sins. I don't think that's what Peter means. I think he means that by loving you, I'm overlooking your sins. I'm overlooking your faults. We're overlooking those things. We're overlooking each other's shortcomings. Verse 9 says, show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. This is what is forever and ever. All of this other stuff that people are chasing, all of these things that people think are important, it's passing away. The end of all things is at hand, but the glory and dominion of Jesus Christ is forever and ever. Amen. This is what lasts forever. The Lord is coming back. And if he should come back today, let him find us loving one another. If he does come back today, let him find us practicing hospitality. Let him find us overlooking one another's sins. If the Lord should come back today, let him find us serving one another, being self-controlled and sober-minded. Today, we are closer today than we have ever been to the return of Jesus Christ. Every new day we get, it's a day closer. Nobody has ever been closer than you and I are right now. The end of all things is at hand. So this is how we live. Every day that we get, we are one day closer to all of this nonsense being done. All of this greed, all of the hurt and pain, all of the sin, all of the criticizing one another and not caring about each other, all of this screaming back and forth, all of this killing, all of these wars, all of it is passing away. And every single time the sun comes up, we're one day closer to those things passing away, and the glory and dominion of Jesus Christ will be forever and ever. So if that's true, as we finish up, if that's true, every moment that passes away, the way of Jesus should make more and more sense. Every moment that time passes, the way of Jesus just makes more and more sense. And by contrast, the way of the world makes less and less sense. Every moment that passes, we should look back and say, wow, I can't believe I ever lived like that. I can't believe I ever thought those things. Thank God that I'm forgiven. Thank God for his grace and his mercy, and that those things in the past are forgiven and they are gone. And I certainly cannot live like that anymore. It's too late to live like that. The road is running out. The journey is winding down. Jesus is coming back, and all of these things that people think are so important that they idolize, that they're passing away. And again, every moment the way of Jesus just makes more and more sense, while the world's way makes less and less. Arm yourself with this thought. I am done with that lifestyle of sin, because sin makes no sense for anyone anticipating the return of Jesus. For all of us anticipating the second coming of Jesus, every moment that passes away, the way of Jesus makes more and more sense. We have today. We have this moment, and if you aren't ready for the return of Jesus, if where you are right now looks so much like where you have been and you want to change that, or you need the prayers or encouragement, or if you are not a Christian and you are ready to be baptized into Jesus, don't let another hour pass by that you don't reach out to someone, to me or an elder or a deacon or someone, and do whatever it is that you need to do to make the changes you need to make, because the end of all things is at hand. And the glory and dominion of Jesus Christ is forever and ever, and every moment that passes, the way of Jesus makes more and more sense. If we can help you in any way, please come as together we stand and we sing.